What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Next Gen Whitetails Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Harrison Vaughn, and on today's episode, we are going to be recapping the first month of deer season for me here in North Carolina. I know that we haven't had a podcast put out here in several weeks. Actually, it's been about a month since we've had a podcast out, but it has been a busy, busy time as we've finished last-minute preparations for deer season, and now that we've been in the first full month of the season. So today, I'm ready to get back with you guys, share what's been going on in the woods, what we've been seeing, and some very, very exciting news that happened just yesterday. So stick with us, stay tuned, and as always, thank you guys for being a part of the Next Gen. All right, guys, so as I said just a little bit ago, welcome back to a new episode of the Next Gen Whitetails Podcast. Like I said earlier, I apologize for not getting an episode out here for several weeks, but it has been very, very busy with work and with family life, and then the first full month of the season for me here in North Carolina. So very excited to kind of recap what's been going on, what the food plots are looking like, and then the activity that I've been seeing, and a little success, a pretty big success actually, that happened yesterday morning. So we'll start back all the way to 2 weeks before the season opened at the 1st of September. We got all of our food plots in, all four food plots that we planted were put in. They grew spectacularly. 2 weeks later, by opening day, they were 4 or 5 inches tall. Planted a cereal grain blend mixed with some forage rape and other brassicas. They came in spectacularly, and we'll get to how they're looking now here in just a little bit. But let's talk about opening day first. Let's talk about opening day. So opening day rolled around, and I personally had three specific target bucks that I had on camera that I have shared pictures of on the Instagram page, that being Blades, which was a 4.5-year-old 7-point, 4.5 years old. He had 5 on his right side. His left side is where his name comes from. Very long brow tine with a long bladed main beam. So his main beam on the left side was just about as long as was just as long as his main beam on the right side. It just lacked any points, whereas on his right side, he had 5 points sticking out. So had he been a typical, he would have been a typical 10, but due to that atypical left side, he is a 7-point deer. Again, 4.5 years old, had pictures of him for 3 years since he was a 2.5-year-old. He's always had that weird bladed left main beam, and it's been really neat to get to see him grow over the last 3 seasons. The second buck we had on camera was the bullwinkle buck, which I know is not the bullwinkle buck that's in the record books, but he was a 6.5-year-old buck with pretty severely palmated antlers. Really, really cool buck, really unique buck. Definitely one that I was excited to see or have an opportunity to see on opening day. And then, of course, we had Big Earl and the Wacky Buck. The Wacky Buck had been fairly consistent. We hadn't seen Big Earl in a while leading up to opening day. It had been 3 weeks since we'd seen him, but the Wacky Buck was fairly consistent, pretty much only nocturnal going into opening day. But again, I was interested in seeing him. But opening day rolled around. Temperatures were in the low 70s as a low, and then a high of about 82. So not terrible temperatures for early September here in North Carolina, but obviously not cold either. Day started out very good, calm, quiet morning. Sunrise came. First buck I saw was Blades. He was the first one that came out. He fed on the far side of the plot, never presented a shot. But awesome to get to see him in full velvet at the time. I was hoping he'd work his way in, but he stayed out at about 65, 70 yards the entire time feeding. But awesome to see. He ended up leaving the plot, which is where we get into the heartbreak and the unfortunate nature of what happened next. About 45 minutes after Blades left the plot, around 8:45 in the morning, bullwinkle buck stepped out. read the script about as perfect as a buck could, walked straight to 26 yards, quartering slightly to, and when I say slightly, I mean very, very slightly to. I drew back on him. It knocked the pin, had the pin set right, aimed basically at the offside shoulder blade. So a little bit forward on the front, but aimed right at that offside shoulder blade on the other side because he was slightly quartering too. And as soon as I let that arrow fly, right before actually a crow that was in some of the trees on the far side of the plot ripped off and just startled Bullwinkle enough that he ducked and turned, and the arrow released and clipped off of his near side shoulder right into the ground. He ran off. I was nervous about the shot right after it happened. I was hoping that what I had seen wasn't actually true and I'd gotten penetration, but that was not to be the case. After giving it about an hour, I went in, checked the arrow. Absolutely no blood to speak of on the arrow other than right at the broadhead. Ended up trailing a drop-by-drop blood trail for a little over a mile till it finally petered out. And after some deliberation and talk with some buddies that we've had on the podcast before, ended up deciding that that buck was going to live, which he did. We have pictures of him here in the past couple of weeks. But unfortunate set of circumstances, but definitely something that happens from time to time in bow hunting. Just a poor shot, poor circumstances, just a tough scenario. Thankful that, you know, obviously he lived. It wasn't a fatal shot, not a gut shot or anything like that, and he lived and is perfectly fine, other than a little cut on his right shoulder blade. But definitely unfortunate to lose that opportunity on opening day. Very unique buck, split brow tines. Would have been an awesome one to tag, especially with the age that he has on him. But part of bow hunting, that's how it goes. After opening day rolled around, it kind of went quiet for a week or two. But then 3 weeks ago, we got a daylight picture of Big Earl. Daylight picture of Big Earl with the wide eight in the food plot at about 6 o'clock in the evening on a Tuesday night. I was not hunting that night. I decided that my best wind direction, best opportunity was going to be hunting him out of a ground blind I have on the edge of one of my plots on Thursday night of the same week. Ended up getting in there, playing the hunt out, had a great wind, got in there quiet leading into it. At around 6:20, the white eight came out with Big Earl right in tow. They fed in the plot for 15-20 minutes at about 55 yards, which is not a range I'm comfortable taking. And he did what I was hoping he would do. He worked his way closer to me into the plot. He was at 40 yards even. Actually, no, take that back. He was at 36 yards even, and I put my 40-yard pin on him. This is where my mistake came in. I put my 40-yard pin on him right behind the shoulder blade as if I was shooting at 40 yards. I released the arrow. He clean ducked it at 36 yards. I watched that arrow go about 2 inches clean over his back and bust into the ground behind him. So, heartbreaking. He is massive. 150s, probably low 150s, maybe mid 150s. A lot of mass on him as a clean, typical 8-point, but a massive 8-point buck. Arrow right over his back. Clean miss. Awesome encounter. Just to be able to be in the presence of a buck of that caliber and that age and size, but definitely a bit of a heartbreaker with not being able to notch that tag on him, and to miss him and spook him this early in the season is definitely a tough pill to swallow. But again, just like I said a second ago with the Bullwinkle story, it's part of the game. So after the unfortunate circumstances around Big Earl and Bullwinkle, leading into the last couple of weeks. I've been watching cameras very closely, moving them around, trying to position and pattern myself for the best shot opportunity at some of these bucks. And lo and behold, in the past week, Blades started daylighting consistently. He daylighted last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in daylight. Big Earl showed back up on Friday night, 30 minutes after shooting light, with the wide eight, who has been in there every night since, including this evening, about 20 minutes before I recorded this podcast, along with a very welcome surprise of the Wacky Buck, making his first appearance since before opening day of bow season. First pictures we have of the Wacky Buck in a month, but he was back tonight, again, about 20 minutes before I started recording this podcast, within 20 minutes of the end of legal light this evening. So that is an awesome sign of some things to come. Now that we are here in October, we've got three mature shooter bucks back on camera in the area. Tomorrow, I'm going to be going in and pulling some stands down and moving them into an area that is going to kind of transition between bedding and our primary food source on the property, which is a large food plot we have there. But I'm going to hang some stands on a travel corridor that they're taking fairly consistently. And it's also going to be a fairly good rut stand because it's right on the trail between the buck bedding and a very well-traveled and well-used doe bedding area on one of the sides of the property. So it's going to be a really good spot leading into October as we get into November closer to the rut, but I'm also hoping to be able to set myself up here in the next week or two to get a shot at either Earl the White Eight or the Wacky Buck with that movement tomorrow and the adjustments with a new camera and a new stand. But some of you may be wondering why I am leaving Blades off of that conversation point. Why am I only talking about getting a shot opportunity at the Wacky Buck, the White Eight, or Big Earl? And that, everybody, is because yesterday morning I was fortunate and blessed enough to be able to tag Blades. Blades is down. Blades is in the books. He is my first target buck down of the season off of my four buck mature hit list that I have set up on this specific property. But Blades is down. So right now I want to tell you guys about the success story. So we've heard two unfortunate failures from this season, but now I want to tell you guys about the success story of this season so far, that being Blades. So like I said just a little bit ago, Blades daylighted three mornings this past week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We had a cold front push in on Saturday, so I knew that it was going to be a really good time to get in the food plot. Had a really good wind for the circumstances where my ground blind was positioned. I was hunting them out of the ground blind food plot. Got in there yesterday morning, wanted to get in there really early. I knew we had rain overnight from about 2:30 in the morning until 5:30, and I knew that that was going to be my best opportunity to get in there silently and scent free. So I ended up getting out there about 4 o'clock with a 650 shooting light. Was able to sneak in a pretty steady rain, get into the food plot, did not bump a single deer, had several deer setting the camera off while I was in the stand in the dark. But just a really good entry, really solid setup going into yesterday morning. And then at 6:47, just as gray light was starting to get to the point where you could make out shapes, I saw a buck come into the plot down the trail exiting that buck bedding area on the far side of the plot. It was a buck that I'm calling the Young Eight. He's a 2.5-year-old, might be 3.5. I need to go back and look at some pictures from last season. He looks familiar, but I'm just not quite sure. He's not huge bodied. He's not got a very large rack on him, but I'm going to say probably a 3.5-year-old buck. Definitely needs some more growing, a little more time, but a solid 8-point. Comes into the food plot at 6:47. I couldn't tell who he was at the time. I just knew it was a buck based on being able to see the shadows of the antlers and the body size compared to a doe that was already in the plot. But right behind him, I saw Blades. And you could just tell it was him by the significantly larger body size than the young eight and his antlers. You could see the antlers shadowing in the trees, and you could see that blade on the far side. So he ended up coming in right at legal light, was in the plot, and actually came within 25 yards of where I was sitting in my blind at 652, 653. I tried to get a range on him just to confirm that he was not at 30, but could not read my rangefinder in the low light situation. So he's in there about 26, 27 yards. He ends up spooking off. Not sure why. My wind didn't shift, none of that. He just kind of got spooky, was looking around, and then trotted back off into the woods with the young eight to follow. I was starting to get a little concerned at that point, not quite sure what was going to happen, whether he was going to come back in, whether he was done for the day. I was hoping my wind hadn't swirled, anything like that. But about 10 minutes later, the young eight comes right back down the trail, followed by Blades, and they sat and fed at between 45 and 55 yards for about 10 minutes. Then, again, same thing happened. They randomly spooked off. I ended up realizing they had spooked off because a fawn had ran into the food plot on the side behind where I was sitting. He had ran into the food plot and scared both of the bucks off. And again, when they busted, I thought that was it, that you don't typically have them come in two or three times on the same morning, and that was the end of the hunt. And I was hopeful that another one of our target bucks would come in, but thought that Blades was done for the day. Well, again, about another 10 minutes of a couple of does. I had four does and six fawns feeding in the food plot at the time. But about 10 minutes after they were just casually feeding the plot, on the far side of the plot, down near the trail, there comes the young eight back into the plot, followed right behind by Blades. They both came in at about 8:25 or 7:25. They're feeding in the plot, and Blades reads the script to a T. He walks directly down the edge of this logging road, feeding on the plot, and then stops at 26 yards, facing me. I'm ready. I got the bow in hand. I'm just waiting on him to turn broadside. I range him. He's at 26.2 yards. I'm waiting on him to turn broadside. He ends up taking about 2.5 steps closer to me, and turns clean broadside with his front shoulder stepped forward, giving me just a perfect shot at the old 12 ring right behind the shoulder blade and the magical V shape of the shoulder blade where the vitals are. I put the pin, my 25-yard pin, right on the heart, let it fly. I see the Luminok go straight in behind the shoulder blade, that loud thwack that we all love to hear on a solid arrow hit, and he mule kicks and takes off and runs straight into the tree line, and I can hear him running for a period of time, and then I heard what I thought was a crash. Couldn't quite tell because I had other deer running off as well, but I thought it sounded like a crash. I waited about 10 minutes. I'm staring off right to where I thought I hit him. My Luminok and arrow are stuck in a tree as even with where he was standing as they could, so I knew it was just a dead clean pass through. I ended up waiting 10 minutes and then crept out of the food plot with a couple of fawns in the plot still and went straight over to my arrow, pulled it out of the tree. It was covered in bright red blood, from broadhead to fletching, just soaked. Pulled the arrow out of the tree, looked at it, stuck it in the ground where I saw some hair right where I knew the hit was, and I made my way back to the truck. I ended up using the Drury Outdoors DeerCast, their deer track feature, so I could monitor or get a good idea of where I hit him, what I was looking like, how I was feeling, just to kind of give me some reassurance. I knew the shot was good, but I was just trying to reassure myself. Ended up waiting 25 minutes out there after about 35 minutes, 30 minutes of waiting at the truck. Took the cart back down to shot location. Checked the arrow. Checked the tree line right where he went. Found a single drop of blood. And mind you, it has been raining all morning. The ground is soaking wet. Leaves are changing color. So we've got little red leaves all over the ground. But checked the location of the shot. Don't find any blood other than the one drop at the entry. So then I start checking trails leading off of where he entered, looking for blood. Ended up finding about two other drops right near where he entered the woodlot and nothing else. I spent 15 minutes walking multiple different trails leading off of this entrance to the woodline. Cannot find a drop of blood. Go back to the arrow where the one drop is. I'm standing there racking my brain trying to figure out what to do, thinking this can't be happening to me again. I've already, you know, lost the blood trail on one this year on a bad hit. I've missed one. This one was supposed to be just a dead ringer. The shot was perfect. How am I not finding blood? I then come to the conclusion that, you know what? You heard him fall. You think you heard him fall. You heard where he ran. You should go check. So I go back to my arrow. I'm thinking in the woods. I'm looking at the property. I know where I think I heard a crash. So I beeline it straight there. I am, you know, steadily walking as I go. I'm creeping along, but I'm just walking directly to where I thought I heard a crash, not looking for blood trail, none of that, just walking. And sure enough, 40 yards from the tree line, 45 yards from where the shot took place, there he was, lying there, stone dead, right where I had thought he had crashed, which showed me that he had clearly crashed and died within seconds after the shot. But I was still confused as to why exactly I found no blood. Upon looking at the shot, realized he was heart shot and double lung. So I double lunged him and I severed the aortic arch leading off of the heart. So he was dead within seconds of being shot, but the entry and exit wounds were completely even with each other. So he had not bled. He had bled internally, but not externally, which is why I was getting absolutely zero blood on the trail. But the entry wound was perfect, right where I thought it was. Exit wound was fantastic. Massive wound channels on both sides. Could not have been happier with the shot, but was fortunate enough to drag him out of the plot. Gonna do a European mount with him. It's definitely become my favorite way to handle deer. I just love the classic look of it. It's an awesome way to be able to honor that animal and have it as a lifetime, you know, memory of the process. Not a memory of a trophy or a kill or anything like that, but a process. A 2 year or a 3 year process with this deer of seeing him from a 2.5 year old to a 4.5 year old, watching him grow and develop every year, and then the satisfaction and the excitement of getting to take him out of a brand spanking new food plot, a food plot that had never existed before this year, and having the ability to harvest this mature buck out of a food plot that was brand new. Is just an awesome experience. Awesome experience. So I could not be happier with being able to harvest blades. He's a fantastic deer. I'm privileged to have had the opportunity to chase him for this long and to be able to pattern this buck in the way that I have, and to, you know, have an absolutely awesome hunt yesterday. So that is the story of blades. But we've got some more information to share with you about the next couple of weeks. So, Blades is down. That is one of our buck tags here in North Carolina. We're going to do some out-of-state hunting as well, but North Carolina, two buck tags, which means now we are locked on to the Wide 8, Big Earl, and the Wacky Buck. Like I was saying earlier, I have had trail camera pictures of all three of those bucks right around end of shooting light on evening sits. So here in the coming weeks, I'm going to be moving some stands. Actually, tomorrow, I'm going to be moving some stands around, getting some cameras set up, trying to locate where exactly these deer are moving in daylight on their way to this food plot. I have a really good idea of where it is. It's a transition between a pine stand and some regular deciduous trees. So we've got the conifers in this one pine lot buffered up by some deciduous forest on the far side with some pin oaks and other things mixed in there. But a younger, smaller forest still. But I'm fairly positive there's a little bit of an elevation change on the far side where these conifers end and this deciduous forest begins. It's a really nice edge habitat. I really feel like that's probably where these mature bucks are bedding during the daytime. So I'm going to try tomorrow. I got a good wind to push in a little bit closer off of this food plot, about 500-600 yards off of it, near this trail where they have all been coming out of on camera. See if we can get a stand hung, see if we can get some cameras out, try to locate these bucks, pattern them, see what we can make of the coming weeks. But as of today, being October 8th, we are 36 days out from peak rut here in our area of North Carolina. Some of the coastal areas, peak rut is actually going on right now down in Hyde County and towards the coast. But for us in this specific area, the Piedmont that we're at, we're looking at a mid-November second week, beginning of the third week, peak rut here in November. So very excited about that. Got a lot of prospects about what is to come. Going to try to spend the next couple of weeks patterning these bucks while we still can. Because as everybody knows, once we hit November, it is every man, hunter, and deer for himself with no pattern to speak of. We start to transition from being selective about our sits to volume hunting in good conditions being the name of the game, and time spent in the stand is the most important factor for us as bow hunters during the rut. So, as I said at the very beginning of this podcast, I apologize greatly for the delay in getting this episode out. I can assure you, and I know we have said this before on the podcast, I can assure you that now we are going to be back on a weekly or multi-episode weekly basis. So rest assured, the podcasts are going to be coming out every week for the foreseeable future. And if we ever are to take a little several-week hiatus, I will be sure to let you all know. Again, I apologize for the delay. I wish I would have let you guys know at the end of the last episode that there was going to be a little break coming up. But thank you all for sticking around. If you want to see pictures of blades or any of our target bucks, they have all been posted on the Next Gen Whitetails Instagram page. But, you know, this was a solo episode. I appreciate you guys sticking around, listening to the stories about this past month for me in the deer woods. I thank you guys for being here. I absolutely love being able to talk whitetails, even by myself, just sharing stories and information with you guys. I absolutely love it. So next week, we're going to have some guests back on, some familiar guests with you guys going over what they have been seeing. But thank you guys. We're going to wrap it up right now. Alrighty, everybody. So that wraps us up for today's episode of the Next Gen Whitetails Podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here, giving me the opportunity to share my love and passion for pursuing these awesome animals, the whitetail deer, with you all. It is a privilege to be able to just sit down and share with you guys what I'm experiencing, what I'm doing, and to have you guys listening is a privilege. So thank you all so much for that. As I said earlier, I apologize for the delay in getting this new episode out. Rest assured that here in the future, they will be back on a very consistent basis. We're going to have some more awesome guests on for you guys, sharing what they're experiencing in the whitetail woods, sharing information, and just having a good old time and some great conversations. So please, if you enjoyed what you listened to today, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Please hit that subscribe button. Give us a rating if you enjoyed what you were listening to. And please check us out on Instagram at Next Gen Whitetails. That's NXTGEN Whitetails on Instagram. Thank you all so much for being here, as I said earlier. And we do have a special announcement. We are approaching our first 1,000 followers. And when we hit that 1,000 follower mark, we are going to be doing a giveaway. We're going to be giving away a hat and a hoodie to one lucky subscriber. So please hit that follow button. Check us out on Instagram. The giveaway will be happening on Instagram. So check us out there. Thank you so much for being here today. And as always, thank you all for being a part of the Next Gen.